Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Should we praise the man, Joseph Smith? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. As we've mentioned several times on this show, we do annually go down to the Mormon Miracle Pageant in Manti, Utah, to share our faith with Mormons who are going there to watch this outdoor play that includes scenes taken from the Book of Mormon and also Mormon history and such. But before the pageant actually starts, they are playing music over the loudspeakers. And one of the songs that we hear them playing over and over again when we've gone down there for these many years is a very famous Mormon hymn called Praise to the Man.
And they played it on June 27th, which was the anniversary of Joseph Smith's, what they would say, martyrdom, when he was killed in a jail in Carthage, Illinois.
Now, Praise to the Man was written by W.W. Phelps, and this song certainly says some things about Joseph Smith that I think would make many of us evangelicals a bit uncomfortable. What are some of the words that are in this song that they play at this outdoor event, and as far as I know, at every general conference, at least before the conference ends, they always have to at least one time play Praise to the Man?
Yeah, here are the lyrics. I think we need to just speak these out so people can hear what they say. It starts off in the first stanza. It says, "Praise to the man who communed with Jehovah, Jesus anointed that prophet and seer. Blessed to open the last dispensation, kings shall extol him and nations revere." And then the chorus, "Hail to the prophet ascended to heaven. Traitors and tyrants now fight him in vain. Mingling with gods, he can plan for his brethren. Death cannot conquer the hero again." Second stanza, "Praise to his memory, he died as a martyr, honored and blessed be his ever great name. Long shall his blood, which was shed by assassins, plead unto heaven while the earth lauds his fame."
Well, can I stop you there? Yeah. Because when it talks about his martyrdom, certainly there's a huge question mark just about that.
Yep.
Now, we're not denying the fact that Joseph Smith was assassinated. He was killed wrongly. And certainly, I wish they would have never done that. And the fact is that had they not killed Joseph Smith at Carthage Jail in the manner in which they did, we probably wouldn't even be doing this today, Eric. I think Mormonism probably would have just faded out. But because of that, certainly, they did make a martyr, at least in the eyes of the LDS people, out of Joseph Smith. Now, we would question that word martyr only because Joseph Smith did try to defend himself using a pistol that was smuggled to him by a friend, Cyrus Wheelock. Wheelock also dropped off a Derringer that Smith gave to his brother Hiram. Hiram never used that gun when it came to him being killed at Carthage Jail. But still, when Joseph Smith supposedly says that he was going to be led as a lamb to the slaughter, well, wait a minute. That's an expression that is attributed to Jesus.
Right.
And we know that Jesus did go as a lamb without saying anything and without any real type of defense when you really look at the things he said to Pilate and his other accusers. He virtually went there silently without saying very much at all, knowing very well that he was going to pay an ultimate penalty for our sins, the sins of his people. Now, Joseph Smith doesn't do that. Now, had he just stood there in the middle of that Carthage jail room and just taken it, now that would have been a little bit of a different story, but that's not what happens. He ends up shooting back, and according to John Taylor in Volume 7 of the History of the Church, he ends up shooting three people, and as the account reads, two of those people he shot died. Now, there's some controversy by some Mormons as to whether or not they really died. You know what? I don't even think that's relevant. The fact is, Joseph Smith tried to kill these people. I mean, he tried to kill them. So that really changes everything, at least as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to the word martyr.
Yeah, I don't know of a lamb with a gun shooting back at those who are trying to kill it.
That's why I think using that the comparison with what Jesus said is just so wrong. If he had really died like Jesus, going willfully and without a struggle, then okay, maybe I could give that to them. But that is not the case when it comes to Joseph Smith.
And as you hear these words that are written for Joseph Smith, it sure sounds like the kind of worship you and I would give to Jesus. But stanza 3 says this, "Great is his glory," referring to Smith, "and endless his priesthood, ever and ever the keys he will hold. Faithful and true, he will enter his kingdom, crowned in the midst of the prophets of old." And then the final stanza says this, "Sacrifice brings forth the blessings of heaven. Earth must atone for the blood of that man. Wake up the world for the conflict of justice. Millions shall know Brother Joseph again."
Well, you know, that's not the only song that Mormons sing to the praise of Joseph Smith. There's another hymn that is very troubling to me personally, and it's one that Gordon B. Hinckley, who was the 15th president of the Mormon Church, back in April, General Conference in 2005. Now, this was the 200th anniversary of Joseph Smith's birth. And so Hinckley got up and he actually says this, "In this year of celebration through our own performance, let us honor the prophet through whom God has revealed so much. The sun rose on Joseph's life on a cold day in Vermont in 1805. It set in Illinois on a sultry afternoon in 1844. During the brief 38.5 years of his life, there came through him an incomparable outpouring of knowledge, gifts, and doctrine. Looked at objectively, there is nothing to compare with it. Subjectively, it is the substance of the personal testimony of millions of Latter-day Saints across the earth." Now, he didn't stop there. He went on to tell this story about how he, as a boy, loved to listen to an unnamed man who had apparently a rich baritone voice, who liked to sing the words to John Taylor's song, "The Seer, Joseph the Seer." Now, John Taylor was the third president of the Mormon Church. And the hymn was "The Seer, Joseph the Seer." I don't recall this hymn being played at Manti. Maybe it was or has been, and I just missed it. But let me read you some of the words from this song. It says this, "The seer, Joseph the seer. I love to dwell on his memory dear. The chosen of God and the friend of man, he brought the priesthood back again. He gazed on the past and the future too, and opened the heavenly world to view." In other words, you're not going to gain true salvation unless it goes through the message of Joseph Smith, what Mormons call the restored gospel. Now, that portion that Hinckley cited is not too terribly troubling, except for the fact that they are giving credit to Joseph Smith for offering a message of true salvation, which of course as Christians we would argue with that. But then we go on in the song where it says this, "His equal now cannot be found by searching the wide world around. With gods he soared in the realms of day, and men he taught the heavenly way." Now another stanza says, the saints, his only pride, for them he lived, for them he died. Their joys were his, their sorrows too. He loved the saints, he loved Nauvoo," which of course was the city where the Mormons lived at the time Joseph Smith was killed.
Now, Latter-day Saints would say they don't worship Joseph Smith. And while somebody could say that's not really worship, there's certainly a lot more to it than just being the founder of this religion.
Well, especially when you look at the very next line, "Unchanged in death with a Savior's love, he pleads their cause in the courts above." Now, why as Christians would we have a problem with that? Well, one reason being is that Romans 8:33 and 34 says, tells us that it was Jesus Christ himself who died for his elect and now intercedes on their behalf. So even though a Mormon may argue, well, we don't worship Joseph Smith, can you see why we as evangelicals would be very uncomfortable with the way they elevate Joseph Smith, at least in their songs that we would say is a worship song? That's during a worship part of the service. They might not agree with us in drawing that conclusion, but it makes us very uncomfortable.
It certainly does. And in your book, In Their Own Words, you have several pages dedicated to Joseph Smith, quotes from different leaders. So don't think we're just pulling somebody out of context like Gordon Hinckley. I mean, listen to what Joseph Fielding Smith said in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 1, pages 189 and 190 regarding Joseph Smith. He said, "There's no salvation without accepting Joseph Smith. If Joseph Smith was verily a prophet, and if he told the truth when he said that he stood in the presence of angels sent from the Lord and obtained keys of authority and the commandment to organize the Church of Jesus Christ once again on the earth, then this knowledge is of the most vital importance to the entire world. No man can reject that testimony without incurring the most dreadful consequences, for he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is therefore the duty of every man to investigate that he may weigh this matter carefully and know the truth."
Certainly seems to me in that statement that you just read that it's not just about belief in Jesus. You have to believe in Joseph as well. And I don't know if a lot of Christians really understand that you can't have true salvation as it's been defined by the LDS Church unless you embrace Joseph Smith as a prophet of God and trust in what he taught to be the quote-unquote restored gospel.
It almost seems like you could reject Jesus before you could reject Joseph Smith and still be a member of this church.
It sounds like it could be that. I don't know if a Mormon would want to go so far as to say that, but I can understand where you're coming from on that. But give one more quote.
This is Harold B. Lee, the 11th president. He said, "A testimony of Joseph Smith is vital. No man can accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. No man can accept this as his church, the Church of Jesus Christ, unless he can accept Joseph Smith as God's mouthpiece and the restorer of his work in these latter days. First, to say that we are Christians, that then requires two or three certainties. We must know for certainty in our hearts and minds that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. We must know that this is indeed the Church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God on earth in these last days. And finally, we must have a testimony that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God."
Unless you plan on going to a lower level of heaven in the next life, you must have a testimony that Joseph Smith is a true prophet of God. And that, my friends, is why we have difficulty with the claims of the Mormon Church.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.